Again, we'll have an opportunity for questions and answers after all three of the panelists have presented. Now, we're really honored to have Representative Gail Harrell from the state of Florida. She was one of the lead architects and is now following the implementation of Florida's Medicaid reform. Representative.
Thank you very much, and it's a delight to be here. I'm usually out and about. I don't like podiums, so I may be moving around, and I know the photographer has told me I have to stand here very rigidly, so forgive me if I'm a little stiff, but I usually am out. I prefer, as a politician, to be out among the people. Anyway, Florida went into major Medicaid reform over the last 2 years, and you ask, why did we need to reform Medicaid? And when you look at the situation in Florida, there was no doubt that we really had to do something. The traditional fee-for-service Medicaid left few of our patients really with quality health care. You may have had a Medicaid card, but did you have the services? I'm a health care administrator in my private life, and I ran a very large facility, including a mammogram center, an OBGYN practice with many physicians and midwives, et cetera. And we were the only people who took Medicaid in a two-county area. Well, we had people coming from Fort Pierce down to Stewart for their leaps and colposcopies because there was no other physician out there that would do it for the Medicaid fee-for-service reimbursement. We had the taxi cab driver bringing the person down actually getting more of a reimbursement than the physician did for the service that he performed. The system was so broken. You could not find specialists anywhere. You had to go probably 100 to 150 miles to get an orthopedist who would take care of you. The system in the fee-for-service arena was totally broken. We had, in addition to that, the system was very complex. We finally gave it up, and we said, we can't get reimbursed for this. It's not worth our time. When I did a cost analysis and figured out that we could give each patient $10 at the door and tell them to go somewhere else and save money, I realized this system is so broken. In addition, we also had huge rising costs in the system. When we looked at it as a legislator, in my other hat as a legislator, when we looked at this system and we said, if we continue on the track we are going, it is going to eat up our budget. Within 10 years, it would consume over 60% of our budget. How is this sustainable? How are you going to educate your children? How are you going to build roads? How are you going to have economic development in your state when you have Medicaid eating up your budget? We knew we had to do something. In addition, we had huge fraud and abuse in the system. Amazing, when we estimated that there's probably, we took the figure of 10% at least in the system. And we knew of these quickie clinics down in Miami where you could go in and get every test imaginable. They would bill Medicaid, and the recipient got a free lunch. And they bust them down from Fort Pierce to go do that. So we had huge, huge amounts of fraud going, much more than 10%. And with a $17 billion budget, that is $1.7 billion in fraud and abuse. So we knew that the system needed major renovation. And we wanted a new system of Medicaid. Really, what we wanted to do was to empower our patients. If you look at a system, and if you're going to make reforms in the state of New York, you always have to put the patient first. How can you reform the system that takes into account that patient? You needed consistent policies, and you needed consumer choice. If you're really going to reform it, we wanted to put in place consumer choice and make market-driven decisions so that you knew where you were in the system and the market played a place. And we wanted that defined investment so we could control our budget. And also, we needed predictable growth in the system. The key elements that we really looked at in the system were really, here again, empowering the patients, making sure we had choice counseling so that patients knew what to expect and could make appropriate decisions. We wanted a delivery system that really had a coordinated coordination of care, and we went with HMOs and PSNs, and I'll get a little bit more into all of these in a minute. We wanted new options in this system, customized plans. We wanted to be able to opt out into private insurance, and also one of the most innovative things that I'll go into in a minute, enhanced benefits. And we really needed to look at the financing methodology that we were going to use and make it premium-based and risk-adjusted. And also, we had some issues in rural areas that we dealt with through comprehensive and catastrophic risk models. And then, of course, we all dealt with, if you're into Medicaid and you understand upper payment limits, that we kind of finagled out of the federal government, and they're not too happy about it, but Florida was one of the first states to get upper payment limits. We then transferred that money into what we're calling a low-income pool so that we can deal more effectively with our uninsured. And the major effort then, of course, became the outreach efforts in order to make this work. Choice counseling. When we look at choice counseling, this is a key component if you are going to empower the patient. And you have to start with reform from the patient's perspective. They have to understand what is happening within the changes. Nobody likes change. And when you're saying, here is a system we have, even though you can't get a specialist, you have to travel hundreds of miles to get care. Patients wind up getting care only in emergency rooms, the most cost-ineffective way to get it. You have poor outcomes, but people don't like change. So you have to make sure that they understand things, and that's why the choice counseling program is so important. And we make sure that the choice counseling is there for all patients. We also wanted to look at the delivery system, and we went with a system of HMOs and PSNs. And the two areas that we're doing this in, Broward County and in Duval, is our pilot program. We have the innovative thing is the provider service networks. And these are private entities, usually hospital districts, who then partner with community providers, and they are all basically nonprofits who come together and do provider service networks. And currently we have within the two pilots in Broward, 9 HMOs and 4 PSNs and 3 HMOs and 2 PSNs in Duval. And these are some of the different plans that we have in the areas as of September 1st. This will all be on the web so you can get it. Then we wanted to do another new option was customized benefits. You know, one size simply does not fit all in Medicaid, as in everything else. And we wanted a variety of choices in the different plans. But we wanted to make sure that there were certain things that were covered, such as prescription drugs. And then, of course, we wanted sufficiency requirements. When you develop a plan, we wanted that plan to really meet the needs of the patient. Here again, putting the patient first. We also wanted to have certain guidelines and to make sure that that there was flexibility in the amount, scope, and duration of the services. The plans could change things, specialize, but there had to be sufficiency in the system. We also wanted to make sure that they had the ability to give additional services. And when we set this up, many of the plans did offer additional services. Number two, we wanted options to allow patients, again, empowering the patient, to opt out into the private insurance market. If they worked in a facility that offered insurance, Medicaid would pay their premiums, would allow them to opt into the private insurance market. But here again, we had to work with the various groups, the employers, to make sure that the employers understood how to do this and that the patients understood how to do this. We also wanted to make sure that we incentivized the patient. If the patient takes care of themselves, if they do the right things, we wanted to offer them additional benefits. We pay them to take good care of themselves. Number one, the patient wins because they have a better health status. And number two, the state wins because in the long run, it will cost us less money. If a diabetic keeps their blood sugars at the appropriate level, they're going to need less care down the road. It's a win for the patient. It's a win for Medicaid. And that is one of the things that we are doing that is so creative and so innovative, and we're so excited about it. When you look at some of the things that we are offering in our enhanced benefit, you can actually earn up to $125. These are various things you, for behaviors, we will pay you to take care of. If you take your children to the doctor on a regular basis, if you get your mammogram, your pap smear, you can earn up to $25 in your special account. If you change your behaviors, disease management, very, very important part of this. If you do what you're supposed to do, we will reward you. Another thing, we wanted to make sure the financing methodology was working. We do a premium-based financing, and we wanted to make sure that is based on the problem that the patient has. We don't want to pay for things and have a huge premium going for things that are really, that those group of patients don't need. We want to pay for what we get. And we want to risk adjust it. This is extremely important that you do risk adjustment and you make sure that you do it appropriately. We're starting out using a prescription model, basing on a historical prescription model. We're then going to move over the next 3 to 4 years to a chronic illness and disability payment system. And that is that will then take us the next step. Now, we wanted to be sure that we addressed our rural needs. And many of in our rural communities, we did not have HMOs or provider service networks. So we're doing something a little different. We're sharing the risk in certain areas, in certain rural areas. And we're making sure that the plans offer a comprehensive plan, but the state will take the risk on catastrophic events. So this is a bit of a change, a hybrid system, only in rural areas to make sure that we have the Medicaid services available. We also have the low-income pool, and this, we were very fortunate. Of course, we do have some help with Governor Bush having a president in his brother in the White House. So when we got our reform passed, we were very, very fortunate to really negotiate some money into this low-income pool. And this is the upper payment limit money that we used to get. We have $5 billion over 5 years that we will be using to really look at how we can reduce the uninsured rate. Also, we wanted to make sure that we had the outreach. And outreach is an extremely important part of that. You want to outreach first to the beneficiaries, to the patients, all the advocates and the local officials and the community leaders. This is extremely, extremely important. But then you also have to outreach to the plans and the providers because the system depends on the plans and the providers to provide those services. So you have to make sure up front that there's agreement and that you all have the right goal. And this was basically our timeline. We did it rather rapidly. And we are now in the implementation stages of it. And we have two counties, Duval and Broward, who are really the pilots that we're doing. We're going to roll this out in these two counties, test it, reform it, change it, make sure it works, and then over the next following 3 years, go to full implementation and roll it out across the state. And this is right now, we're in the transition period. We're transitioning about $210,000 over the next, 210,000 beneficiaries over the next 7 months in the two counties. And we are very much moving in that direction. As of September 1st, we actually have people enrolled in the new system. So I hope maybe I get the opportunity to come back next year and tell you what has worked, what has not worked. But I think so far, and I certainly get the phone calls as chairman of the healthcare committee when things don't work. So I'm amazed at the few number of calls I've had. We've had a little glitch in our pharmacy things, but we're getting there. And I'll leave it up for questions next. Thank you.